Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
You get the idea? Bring me
a dream. It's on the internet. Make him the cutest
that I've ever seen. Go on. Give him two
lips. Like it's like no cheese I've ever tasted. And tell him
that his loss. Here's the Sandman. Over Sandman.
Markets were off a little bit this week as an article in the Wall Street Journal suggested that the Fed may be disengaged with the stock market. The Dow Jones was down 0.2%, S&P 500 off 1.2%, NASDAQ down 2.6%, the 10-year was slightly up at 0.1% to close the week at 2.97%, year-to-date it's up 1.4%. Oil down a little bit, 2.6% to close at 89.72 a barrel. Still up 19.3% for the year. And bonds year-to-date are down 8.9%. So turning to the article in the Wall Street Journal, it suggested that the Fed is inclined to keep raising rates. And I'll get to that in a minute. But some positive spots. Consumer sentiment looks like it's been hurt a little bit. But according to the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index, which fell to its lowest point in record, dropping below 60. This was for the fourth time. Looking at the positive of that, a bottoming out in consumer attitudes follows usually a favorable market performance. In the three previous instances when we had this, when the index fell below 60, 1980, 2008, and 2011, the stock market was higher in each of the following 6 and 12-month periods, with the S&P 500 averaging an increase of 16%, over the next 6 months, and a little over 20% over the following 12 months. Turning to the economy, the housing starts came out this week, and the data on housing remains remarkably consistent. The housing market is rapidly cooling. Both July housing starts and housing permits declined more than expected. Additionally, the key metric for the residential housing market, single-family housing starts, and single-family housing permits also both fell this week, despite what people were thinking. The numbers were down 0.1% on the family starts, and for permits off 4.3%. And this signals further weakness ahead over the next 3 to 6 months. So bottom line, housing is slowing exactly as I would expect, given the multi-year highs in mortgage rates. And you should expect that the slowing in housing is going to gradually expand as the economy starts to slow down over the next couple months. And so that asks the question, you know, the stock market's been having a nice couple weeks. And why is the bond market and the currency market disagreeing with the stock market? Great question. So let me address that. Despite the fact the stocks have rallied on the idea that the Fed is going to pivot, in other words, that belief is that they're not going to raise rates as aggressively as the market was previously thinking. The 10-2 spread and the currency markets just aren't showing that. And so the meaning of all this is that there's going to be more higher inflation and more Fed tightening. So since last July, late July, I'll say, the 2-year Treasury yield, which is the market's proxy for the expected Fed fund rate, has risen from 2.88 to about 3.28%. If you look at the long end of the 30-year treasuries, which about as far as we go out, it's sensitive to what they expect inflation and economic growth to be. And this has gone from 2.61 to 2.88. So that shows that there's more interest to come. Now, as far as the 10-2 spread goes, as we've been saying, the 10-year Treasury compared to the 2-year Treasury yield is inverted. And this past week, it got to negative 43 basis points. In other words, the 2-year was paying more than the 10-year. And this is a multi-decade low for this sort of benchmark. And so what the bond market's saying is it's expected that the Fed is going to make less of a change than what the stock market's saying it's going to be. And for it to be the other way around, I would expect the reverse to happen. I'd expect to see the two-year yield start to drop and the 10-year start to increase, where they're not inverted. If we turn to the currency market, the dollar index dropped to below 105 this past week. Again, this was a multi-week low that we're seeing. And if the currency markets are expecting the Fed to get less hawkish, then we would see the reverse of that. We would see the dollar decline to more of the mid 100s. And we're not seeing that. It's just not happening. So at some point, it may well happen. But for now, the currency and the bond markets are not confirming the hope that stocks are, which is that the Fed's going to pivot. So the bottom line is price action in the broader stock market has gotten better in August overall, but I think it's just premature to say that the trend is now bullish. So in reality, the market has just stopped falling for a period of time and established a near-term bottom just under 4,000. Near-term, we're going to want to see the market continue to hold the recent gains, specifically now the support level at 4155, with a key resistance on the upside at 4300, and then the all-important 4386 to see if we can go higher from there. Now, realize too, on the bottom, if we go through the 4155 level, we're looking at 4072, given the fact that the equity markets has created this, we'll call it 4,000 foot level, if you will. So we still have a little bit more to go in the summer, and we just have to see if this latest leg higher will end up being a repeat of the March bull trap, or if the S&P 500 will be able to stabilize and make a higher low to complement the new multi-month highs, which would lead me to turn more bullish and shift the technical outlook for equities to the positive side. To the upside, the key level to watch right now in the S&P 500 is the 200-day moving average. And again, that number is right around 4,300, specifically 4,323. The S&P rallied up to test this technical indicator on Tuesday, but quickly failed and through Friday retreated as well. If the S&P can break above this 200-day moving average and hold there for several days, that will be a positive technical development for this improving overall feeling we're getting. But it is worth noting that the Dow broke through the 200-day moving average earlier the week, and so far looked like it was going to hold, but Friday again turned around a little bit. So it's encouraging overall for large caps, this trend that we're seeing. But again, we want to see the broader market, specifically the S&P 500, hang in there and continue to grind higher if we're going to get more bullish on the overall market at this point in time. Next week, we're going to be wanting to pay attention to more inflation data, specifically personal income and consumption.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. KNBR and Liberty are not affiliated. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.